Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. In this verse, you ready? Listen to it. Speaking of Jesus, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For some reason, we only talk about the first part of this and not the second part. Let me give you the 2 points. Number one, Jesus was made sin for us. Let me ask you a question. Was Jesus a sinner? Did he do anything that was wrong? Look at the scriptures. I mean, it is amazing. Hebrew 4:15 says this: he was tempted in every way as we are, and yet without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22, he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. And in Jesus' life, when the Jewish officials came after him, boy, they wanted to do away with him. People were following him. They wanted the power. They didn't want anybody else to have the power. They're coming after Jesus, and he said something that nobody in this world can say. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 46, in the midst of this heated discussion with those people, he said, and I don't mean to say, when I say those people, I don't mean Jewish people. I mean the religious leaders is what I'm talking about. He said to them, can any of you, they had all the power, any of you got all the power. You can do all the investigations. You can know everything. They did everything, trying to find some way of accusing him. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? Point it out. I don't know about you, but I don't want one of those programs, This Was Your Life, shown here of the dumb stuff I've done in my lifetime. Dig deep enough, you'll find stuff on everybody, won't you? Some dumb thing we've done. Some shameful thing. Jesus could actually say publicly, okay, point it out, where is it? It's because he was not a sinner, as the Bible says. He was not a sinner. He was perfectly righteous and perfectly holy. But there is a great miracle that happened. The first great miracle of the good news, which means gospel means good news. The first great miracle of the gospel is this: he who knew no sin became sin for me and you. That is an amazing miracle. God transferred the responsibility of our sin onto Jesus. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, becoming a curse for us. In Romans, he wrote, he was delivered over to death for our sins. You know what this is called? Oh, this is a word you'll never use. I shouldn't even say it. But it's a word that the theologians use. It's called imputation. He didn't deserve it, and he didn't cause it, but our sins were imputed to him. He took them. What an incredible miracle. The stuff that you're afraid that someone will find out about you, do you know Jesus took that for you? All the shame that you're afraid that you will suffer if it's known, Jesus took that shame. What a great and wonderful miracle. I told you, Myron and I love old Stuart Briscoe, an old English preacher. He was in the English military for years and was an incredible soldier. And after that, he went to Bible college in a place called Capenray in England. It was founded by Major Ian Thomas. And he's a neat old stodgy English dude. Stuart, who's now in his 80s, went to that place, and he said when he was there, he got a call to go speak to a youth group. He was just a young man. He was called to go speak to a youth group in one of the worst towns in all of England. It was an industrial area, like Manchester. It sounds wonderful till you go there, and it's just an industrial mess. It's just not very pretty, and of course it rains all the time there and all that stuff. Well, this was worse than Manchester, and he said the town was just a dark place. He didn't want to go, but he had to go. It was an assignment he had gotten. He had to go. And so he goes and he meets this youth group. And he said, I didn't like any of them. He said they were all just really not good kids. And the youth worker was this old lady who hated all those kids. And she said to Stuart when he got there, these kids, all of them are bad. None of them are worth a spit, she said to him. Okay, that's a great attitude, isn't it, to be serving a group like that? And she said, and you see that one in the corner? He's the biggest troublemaker. He's the ringleader. So Stuart said, I didn't want to be there, and the youth worker didn't want to be there, and definitely the kids didn't want to be there, but I was supposed to be there, so I gave him my little talk that I had brought, and at the end, the ringleader kid comes up and says, hey, where do you live? I can't do English like Myron can. He said, well, you wouldn't like it. It's a Bible college I'm living at right now called Cape and Ray on the outskirts of London. He said, I'm going with you. He said, it's a Bible college. No, I'm coming. So a few days later, this kid shows up at Bible college. The ringleader shows up at Bible college. He brought his Bible and he brought a soccer ball. Okay. And for all of his years at Cape and Ray studying the Bible, he had the ball with him all the time. Between class, he's bumping this ball on his head. Okay. He's kicking it, keeping it in the air, going against the wall, doing all that stuff that, you know, soccer players do. He was not a very good student, not very really bright, but something had happened to him. He had trusted in Jesus, and Jesus was building this kid into somebody. So after he graduated, he says to Stuart, hey, what do I got to do to get a job here? He said, we need a gardener. I'll take it. He said, well, you ever done gardening work before? I'll learn it, he said. And so he became the gardener for a little while. And then one day he came to Stuart and he said, I got to go back. I got to go back to my town. Stuart said, why do you want to go back to that place for it? The ugliest place in England. He said, my people are there. I got to go back and tell them. You know what he did? He went back and worked in the mines with all those guys that worked in the mines of that awful place. Dug in the ground every day and at night walked with them to the pub and sat there and watched them wash all their money down their throats. They have this thing in the pubs. When you get there with your paycheck and you spend your whole paycheck during a couple of days and then the next days you don't have any money, well, they set up a tab for the guys that would go into the pub, and they put their name, Patty. And just, they put a slash at every drink, every pint he got. They'd put a slash, and they would build up a pretty big tab, and then they'd get paid again, and they'd go pay it off, and then have the next week they'd have a bigger tab, and then a bigger tab. There was a series of several names up on the blackboard behind the bar. And one day this young man got some inspiration, because he wanted them to know what Jesus had done for them. So he got up, and he got the bartender's rag, and he soaked up some suds that were on the bar and went over to the blackboard and started erasing everybody's tab. Hey, what are you doing? You can't do that. Hey, we owe that money. You can't. He erased the whole thing and then turned around, pulled money out of his pocket, had counted up everything that was on the board and paid the bartender in full. He said to all these drunks sitting around, that's what Jesus did for you. He paid for it all. Do you know there's a thriving church in that all ugly, awful little city right now, all because of that boy that carried a soccer ball, they call it a football, around with him all those times? That is life transforming when you realize that he did that for you. Our sin, but here's the other half of it, and then we're going to go home. It says, God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. Get this. So that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, we asked a question about Jesus. Was Jesus a sinner? The answer is no way. And we got the proof of that. Well, let me ask you this, then, equal mysterious question. Are we righteous? I know what you're thinking. Are you kidding me? You know, right? Of course we're not. We're all sitting here because we need a Savior. We know we're not. The Bible is so clear. Romans 3 is so, two incredible statements from there. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Here's another statement from Romans 3. There is none righteous, not even one. So how is it? This first miracle was that Jesus took our sin and took the responsibility for all of it. Now something, an amazing miracle has taken place that you and I don't think about very much. And that is the second great miracle. Do you know why Jesus didn't just show up here from heaven and die? He could have just showed up, bam, here I am, boom. And he came, was born, and lived this perfect life, and at 33 or so was crucified. Why did he have to live the life? Well, we say a lot of reasons, so that we could know him, so that he could teach, so that he could draw disciples, all those things. But there's another big reason. He came to live the perfect life. Do you want to know why? So that his perfect life could be imputed to our unrighteous lives. Do you know that before God, all of us here who have trusted Jesus as our Savior, it's not only that he took our sin, that our sin he took the responsibility for. His righteousness, his perfection has been imputed to each of us. Before God, he sees you as completely well, completely right with him. To me, that's an amazing thing. Now, we live in bodies that are dying, and we all still struggle, and God is doing this work that the Bible calls sanctification, making us better as we go along. But I'm telling you, what I just told you in that second point will save your bacon. Because you are a sinner, and you're going to do some dumb things. And when you do them, what we think is, oh, I've blown it. He doesn't want me anymore, and we think we can. I wish you could have known him. Now, you might know him, so I won't say his name. He's a relative of mine. Went to Bible college. They told him in Bible college that he was a no-good bum. And so he believed him. And he had made some pretty bad mistakes that had embarrassed himself and his family. So he walked away. And I was at a family gathering with him a few months ago. Well, I guess it was in the fall. And we had this long conversation that he wanted to have with me to tell me that he still believed, but that he messes everything up so badly that he had to not claim to be a Christian because he doesn't want to give God a bad name. Can you believe that he actually does this out of love and respect for Jesus, but it's destroying him? And I said to him, bro, let me tell you something. Not only did Jesus die for your sins, but his perfection and righteousness is now yours. God is not embarrassed by you. All you have to be is honest. When you do something wrong, our tendency is to think that, okay, now I'm lost again. He doesn't want me anymore. I'm not part of his family. Let me tell you, I did some pretty stupid things. I'm not going to tell you that. It's just so many dumb things that I did. One real class act is that I was dating one girl in high school, and there was this sweet Greek girl down the street babysitting. And I heard she was going to be there, and so I told my dad I was going to my buddy's house, and I snuck down to where Debbie was babysitting so I could hang around for a little while. And it was late. And my dad called my buddy's house. Hey, send him home. And the guy said, what are you calling me for at this time? He's not here. The old man was waiting for me in the dark when I got home. I want you to know something. In all the stupid things I did, not going after Debbie was not stupid, but lying was. And I never stopped being a Hampton. I was Lloyd's son no matter what. I didn't change. That didn't change my standing. Oh, I screwed up. But I was still his son. Now listen, when you do dumb things, and you're going to, I'm not trying to make excuse for any of that. We all need to, of course, be being changed and transformed, and I'm better than I used to be, I'll tell you that, and that's a good thing. But when you fail, I don't want you to think that you can't run to him. You can walk perfectly into his presence. You can talk to him, and you're accepted as a child. And that never changes. Because the gospel isn't just that Jesus died for our sin, became sin for us, but that somehow, in the miracles of God, we became Jesus' righteousness. We're right, man. Woohoo! Man, that's amazing. Amazing stuff. As long as you're right with God, it doesn't matter what other people think. You know what it's like. You see somebody. We're all prejudiced. We all have, just because of our past, I don't like the way you look. You bug me. I don't even know why you bug me, but come to find out, if I think about it, you remind me of my aunt that was just a real pain in my side. Or, you remind me of somebody I did business with and they stole from me. Or, you know, we just see somebody and they'll remind us of that person and you get all these prejudices flying into our heads. I just don't like the way he looks. He bugs me. Oh, I know why. And we'll remember the person. You know, we just do that. We just have these prejudices. Debbie and I were on the beach. And we spent most of our afternoons on the beach if it was sunny. We were suffering for the Lord down there, I'm telling you. But we do it. We faithfully go through it. So we're sitting out there, and this couple comes out, and they've got this big, it's rolled up, and they unroll this piece of yellow plastic, and he takes this zipper thing off, opens up this big hole in it, and he's pushing, and the wind's blowing 20 miles an hour, so into the wind, he does this, the thing fills up with air, he seals it, and it's like a big yellow canoe, and they were laying on it out there in the sun, and Debbie goes, oh, that's so neat. You guys are married. Doesn't your wife ask you to do some different stuff? You know, stuff you just don't want to do sometimes. Go ask those people what that is and where they got that. That is so cool. I said, I don't care about knowing. I do, and you're going to go ask them. So I walk over there, okay? After doing the husband thing is this. And you get up, you're comfortable, close your book, put something in that thing. And I walk over there. And people, you know, you just get a bad first impression of people. I walk up and say, hey, how you guys doing? This kid got his arm around his wife. They're laying on this big thing. He gives me the hand. Gives me the hand. You know, the talk to the hand? The hand. Okay? I said, so, how you guys doing? He gives me the hand. He says, sir, we do not want to buy a timeshare today. I was offended, okay? But you see that? I said, I'm not trying to sell you a timeshare. I want to ask you about the big rubber banana here. Oh, well, then he told me all about it. But that prejudice, and then I remembered, do I look like that gray-haired old guy that walks up and down the beach with, hey, how you doing? Where are you staying? You want to see a show for free? Come and listen to our 18-hour presentation where we pressure you into buy something you can never get rid of. You know? No. You know, they thought it was me. Killing me. We don't want to buy a timeshare. You see, it doesn't matter what they think about me. Jesus knows all about me. And I have a long way to go, just like you do. But I don't ever have to worry about him throwing me away. I can always come to him. We can talk about everything. So, those are the two big points I wanted to tell you today. Don't just remember point one, remember point two. He became sin for you, and you have become righteous. The righteousness of Jesus before God. Isn't that great? Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Let's pray together, shall we? Lord, you are good. I cannot even grasp what you've done. All we can do is believe it and trust it. And Lord, just by trusting in you, all of this is applied to us. The righteous law can't make us right. All it does is convince us of how bad we really are. But your incredible mercy, not giving us what we deserved, and your wonderful grace, giving us what we don't deserve, we're so grateful to you. May you be honored in this fellowship and in the life of everybody here in this room. We thank you for this. We ask for your blessing, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Community Bible Church is an independent, evangelical, Bible-believing church where a group of believers meet weekly to care for one another, to worship God, and then to sit and listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Check out the sermons, but also upcoming events. We hope you enjoy it. God bless you. Community Bible Church was founded in 1975, and for all these years, it's been a bastion for those who have needed to hear the Word of God and those who needed to be loved back to health. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.